Welcome to Talk Write Done, the show where we talk about everything you need to know about writing for your coaching or educational business. Whether your work in progress is a blog post, an article, or a book, here you'll find the inspiration, motivation, and expertise you need to help you succeed. I'm your host, writing coach, editor, and applied linguist, Dr. Lizzie Tangi, and I'm dedicated to helping business owners like you harness the power of the written word to reach more people and transform more lives. Because writing is about more than just the words on the page, in these weekly episodes we'll cover mindset, message and craft. Join me as I chat to writing and publishing experts, as well as business owners at various stages of the writing process. I'm just as interested in getting started and the messy middle as I am in the finished product. So wherever you are in your writing journey, you'll find what you need here. So pull up a chair, pour yourself a cuppa and let's get started. Welcome to this week's show, and I'm so excited to introduce you to this week's guest, veteran ghostwriter Marcia Layton Turner. Marcia is an MBA turned writer who left the corporate marketing world to work with fast growth ventures in need of support. An editor at Macmillan recruited Marcia to rewrite a book on entrepreneurship, and her writing career took off from there. She's authored, co-authored, or ghostwritten more than 70 non-fiction books, mainly about business and real estate. She's worked with traditional publishing houses like John Wiley & Sons, McGraw-Hill, Penguin, Pearson and others, as well as hybrid firms like Jenkins Group and Authority Publishing. When she's not ghostwriting books for clients, she's writing for magazines like Inc., Entrepreneur, Business Week, Black Enterprise, Realtor, Chief Content Officer, Women's Day, Health and dozens of trade journals. Online, you can find her work at CNN Money, Amex Open Forum, US News and World Report, Startup Nation and Forbes, where she's a paid contributor. Corporate clients that have retained her to craft blog posts and articles for their websites include Staples, PayPal, Chase, PNC, Vistaprint, The Hartford, Prudential and many others. Along the way, she's earned awards for both books and magazine articles she's written. Books with her byline and her clients have sold in the hundreds of thousands and millions of copies. Single blog posts have garnered hundreds and thousands of clicks. She's got an MBA from the University of Michigan and a BA with honours from Wellesley College. So, wow, what a absolutely stellar CV. I'm absolutely honoured and excited to have you on the show. So thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. I hope everybody wasn't bored by listening to that long.
Fantastic. Okay, so just for listeners who might not be so clear about what a ghostwriter is, can you just tell us, what is a ghostwriter and how did you get started with it?
Sure. Great question. And until about, 15 years ago, I wasn't entirely familiar with the term ghostwriter. I had worked as a book doctor on an entrepreneurship manuscript that a major publisher had. They had received the manuscript and it wasn't exactly what they were expecting. So they asked me to assist in just reshaping it and fixing it. So I knew about book doctoring, but it wasn't until my agent approached me with a project that it was for a book, and the author was about 7 months behind in delivering it and hadn't started it, hadn't written a word. Marcia, can you just take over? Just take all his notes and write it from scratch. And I had never heard of this. I didn't know it was a thing that you could hire someone to just create a book. So that was my first experience, and I loved it. and so that's really the role a ghostwriter plays. They take primary responsibility for pulling together facts, figures, stories to shape all that material into a book. They rely on their client for the background information, the stories, the information, but it's the ghostwriter who just fashions it into a book. Many ghostwriters do not get credit, hence the term. They remain anonymous and their name doesn't appear anywhere in association with the book. But more and more, we're starting to see people being willing to admit that they had help. I mean, we get help on so many things that I think it's normal that authors are starting to say, yeah, of course I had help. And yeah. So when you see a with or an and on a book, like Michelle Obama with, and then, so she had 6 ghostwriters. She could have listed her ghostwriters. And that means that the ghostwriter helped with some of the material.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got that backwards. So the and is when we work on the book together and we're equal collaborators and I'm providing expertise as well as writing help. And then the with, like I said, is backwards. It's just when the person is providing writing help. And as I said, we're starting to see more of the with and the ands on the covers if you start to look for them. So that's becoming more normal.
Oh, that's so interesting. So with your clients, what's your kind of experience in terms of how often you've had a with or the author's acknowledging?
Good question. And I generally don't ask for credit just because that's how I started. I started without getting any credit. And so I don't expect it. If somebody wanted to give me credit, I would be fine with that. But not getting credit is okay with me. I've written many books under my own name, so it's not like I need to see my name on the cover. That's not really important to me.
Okay, fab. And what is it that you enjoy most, would you say, about ghostwriting?
Well, I tell people that ghostwriting is just the ideal career for me because I'm paid to learn. I love learning. If I could be a student forever, I would be so happy. Ghostwriting is kind of second best. I get to work alongside experts and thought leaders, and I get to ask them questions about what they do or why they do it, how they do it, and then put that together in a book and get a paycheck. So it's ideal for me.
Oh, yeah. The absolutely ideal job, isn't it? To be paid to be an eternal student. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I'm very picky about the projects that I take on. If it's a topic I want to learn about, I'm happy to say yes. And if it's something that would put me to sleep, no.
Yeah.
That's
sort
of my litmus test.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Well, of course. And I think that would probably have an effect on the writing, wouldn't it, as well? If it's something that you're passionate about, then that's going to come through.
Exactly. When you're excited. And this is kind of goes both ways for the client themselves. They need to be excited to work with the ghostwriter so that you get this sense of curiosity and enthusiasm about the topic when you're reading the material. Yeah, because you're right. If the ghostwriter isn't into it, it's going to be boring.
Yeah. And well, what kind of topics have you written about and what are your preferred topics to write about?
Over time, my topics that I'm interested in writing about, that funnel has gotten narrower and narrower. So in the beginning, I wrote nonfiction books and then it got a little bit more defined. And so today I write business books. I've written leadership books, marketing books, entrepreneurship, and real estate. I'd say those are the 4 major ones that I deal in. But with every book, I get clearer and clearer about what excites me. And I really enjoy just talking with other entrepreneurs and business owners. So that's what I look for.
Okay. Yeah. And I suppose that works, doesn't it, with your business background and your MBA background.
Exactly right. I look for ways to leverage my MBA and now the doctorate that I'm getting. Just try and use it whenever I can.
Yeah. Oh, and we were talking about your doctorate just before we started recording as well. So, if you wouldn't mind telling listeners a little bit about the doctorate that you're doing, because it sounds fascinating. I'm sure people would like to hear about that.
Well, so I went straight from undergraduate into an MBA program at Michigan, as you said. And so I've tried to really apply all that training to every business book I write. But a few years ago, I decided I really wanted to go back to school. I wanted to refresh my business knowledge. And so I started a doctoral program at Temple University. I'm now in my last year and I'm working on my dissertation and I'm studying the field of ghostwriting. So I'm getting to interview other ghostwriters, interview agency owners. I'm hoping to interview some clients to really get a full picture of this industry. And so far, really not much has been studied about ghostwriting. There are a lot of papers out there about how it's unethical in an academic setting. It's also quite rampant that people hire ghostwriters to write papers for students, but there really hasn't been much written about thought leadership books or memoirs and things like that. So that's what I'm studying.
Oh, well, yeah, that's fascinating, and good luck with it. And I look forward to hearing more about that once you make them up. Yeah. Okay. So I know I'm not allowed to ask who your specific clients are, of course, but what kind of clients typically come to you now? Are they people who've tried to write? Are they people who really don't like writing, or are they people that might like to write, but they haven't got time for it? Who do you usually work with?
A good question, and it's really been a mix. So as I mentioned, most of the people that I'm working with on these business books, you know, they're CEOs, they're business owners, they're entrepreneurs. And so they all have an expertise that they want to share with the world. Many of them are quite capable writers. They could write the book that they want to write on their own, but some aren't confident enough. You know, they may not realize that they're actually pretty good writers. And so they feel like they need a ghostwriter just to guide them. So almost as a crutch. And then once they get into it, they realize, oh, this isn't so hard. I could do this. So that's sort of one group is quite capable. But in some cases, even the capable people don't have time. They have day jobs, you know, and so it doesn't really make sense for them to spend months writing a book when they could hand it off to someone else and then continue to do their job. So that's one group. Then there are clients who hate writing and for whom writing is really a chore. I had one client who took probably 2 hours to write a paragraph, you know, something that most writers could do in like 5 or 10 minutes. So I know for many, it's a struggle. And again, that's the reason to hand it off to somebody else, because it's just going to be not something they enjoy. It's probably not going to be up to the quality that they would want. And so they hire somebody who does this for a living. It's really a mix. I think the common thread across all of them is time, lack of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just makes more sense for them to hand it off. Just like, I'm trying to think, you know, Bill Gates hires somebody to cut his grass. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, why would you do something that's not kind of in your zone of genius if you've got time? If you've got the money to hire it out and get somebody else to do it who does that all day, every day, and is an expert at doing that and can do it easily, it just makes absolute sense, doesn't it? And I mean, I know people, a lot of clients that I work with actually do enjoy writing, and that's why they want to write their own book. And, you know, perhaps it's a skill that they need to hone, but they want to go through the process themselves. But if there isn't something you're going to enjoy, then it makes total sense, doesn't it?
And I have had a few clients who were unsure of their writing ability at the start of the first book. And so I did a lot of the writing. But then as time went on, they've written subsequent books and they've taken the lead. So they became more confident that, oh, I can do this. And so then I have served more of an editor on later books because they knew they could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've seen how the process works and gone through the process with you.
Exactly.
And confidence. Yeah. And when clients come to you, what are the questions that they usually have about working with a ghostwriter, and how would you answer those questions?
So the questions that I get most frequently from potential clients has to do with process. They want to understand how ghostwriting works. They've heard about it. They think they know how ghostwriting works or how working with a ghostwriter would work, but they want me just to talk them through it. So I really just explain my own process, which may be different from other ghostwriters. But for me, we talk about how we first zero in on what their book is going to be about. And that might take a month or two to figure out what is the angle that you're taking on this topic. And then we work on the outline, which becomes the table of contents. And then I ask them to designate a day and a time every week that we're going to meet. Whether it's Wednesday at 10 or Thursday at 2, that's our time together. And until the book is done, then every week we meet. Sometimes we'll talk through a chapter. Other times we'll be looking at past chapters to maybe add some new material. I like to draft the book and then go back through and start editing rather than editing as we go. I find that really slows the process down. So my goal is to draft the manuscript, and then we go back through the whole thing, having them read it through. And sometimes that really helps them see, you know, oh, chapter 6 belongs here and 2 belongs here. So we may restructure it a little bit. And then we go back through it again a second time, where we're then looking more at paragraphs and lines. And at that point, it's ready to be handed off to the publisher, whether it's a traditional publisher or an independent publisher that they're going to work with. So a lot of our conversations are at that level, is either just explaining, here's how I work, here's what the process looks like. And that tends to kind of kill two birds with one stone. Then they can envision what it would be like to work together, and they understand the steps that they have to go through to get their book completed.
That's a very clear process.
Right. Yeah. Everybody asks that question universally. How do you work?
Yeah. No, that's right. And would you then, if clients are wanting to traditionally publish, would you help them? Would you ghostwrite a proposal for them? Or do they come to you after they've got a publishing deal? How does that work?
Good question. And I am probably an anomaly in, I really don't like writing proposals.
Okay.
I have done it. They have sold for lots and lots of money. I just don't enjoy the process. I've only discovered this in the last couple of years. So in the past, we would start work on the book. And then after we got a couple chapters done, we would then work on a proposal so that an agent could be trying to sell it to a publisher while we're finishing the manuscript. Today, however, I really choose or prefer to work with people who want to independently publish so that we don't have to go through the process of writing the proposal.
That's interesting, isn't it? And you've got a kind of clearer path to publication then. You know exactly what and when and how you're going to do that, because there are a lot of unknowns with traditional publishing, you know, if and whether it's going to be picked up, and it's not necessarily a meritocracy, is it? So there's all of that that you don't have to deal with. And I think I can see more and more authors are going down that route.
They are. And so we'll run through the pros and the cons of traditional versus independent publishing. And I try and have that conversation early on, because it's really important to have that decision to know, are we writing a proposal or not? Now, again, I don't want to write the proposal, but most of my clients, you know, because they're CEOs and they're business owners, and they may want to use this book either to get on the national speaking circuit or to market their companies, they may not really care if they have a traditional publisher name on the spine.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, it can just be much quicker, can't it?
Exactly. And
business owners particularly, I think.
You've hit the nail on the head. That's why they opt to go the independent route, because they know they can get it done potentially, you know, now we're mid-2022, they could potentially have it in early 2023, whereas the traditional route, I think they'd be pushing 2024. And some just aren't willing to wait, or it doesn't make sense to wait. If they have a new technology that they're rolling out, they want to be first to market. They can't wait till 2024 to start talking about it.
Yeah. And we've already covered a bit, I think, about the kind of benefits to your authors. But what do those, you know, what is it that those CEOs that are coming to you, what are they looking for? What do they, because I presume they already know that there are certain benefits that they are going to have from having a book in their hand, but you say getting on national TV. What particularly do you think that they're looking for when they come to you?
I think a book is a tool for demonstrating expertise. And there are a number of reasons that you might want to do that. One, as I mentioned, is to be perceived as a thought leader. That's a big thing these days, to be the thought leader, the leading thinker in your industry. And that can then lead to speaking opportunities, podcast opportunities, and being a guest just like this, guest blog posting, serving on a board, potentially starting another business as a joint venture, finding partners. It's really just a way to elevate yourself and become better known while, again, demonstrating your expertise. So I've had clients call as soon as the book is out and say, Marcia, you won't believe it. I just landed a $30,000 contract from the book. Well, you know, a good portion of the book is then paid for with that. Or I finally got accepted to a speaker's bureau because I had the book. That was the qualification, something that they wanted. So that's going to lead to other things. So I think it's a shortcut to thought leadership, which leads to whatever it is you want it to lead it to.
Yeah, fantastic. And at what kind of stage in their careers do you find that they're generally kind of a bit further along, or are they people starting out in business?
Most of my clients are very successful already and either want to, they're looking ahead to what they're going to do post-retirement, and they want to tell the story of how they got to where they are. Or maybe they're looking ahead to starting a new business and they want to establish their expertise so that they can then leverage that to go into something new. But yes, they are successful, established, frequently known in their industries. It's rarely somebody who's just starting out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if someone's listening to this now and they think, yeah, I've had enough of trying to write my book and I think this is the route for me, or, you know, at least I'd like to start off with a ghostwriter. What advice could you give to people if they're looking for a ghostwriter to work with? Obviously, they'll go and check out your website, which I'll link to in the show notes. But what other advice could you give to them?
I think a lot of first-time authors are most concerned with track record. You know, they want to work with a ghostwriter who's written New York Times bestsellers or penned 100 books. And I don't always think those are the most important criteria. You know, as we were saying early on, I think chemistry is really important. You have to be excited to meet with this ghostwriter who's going to become kind of your work partner for a few months. So paying attention to chemistry is really at the top of my list for things that I think clients should pay attention to, more so than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. And where can they go? I know you've got a site, haven't you?
If they want to check me out, my website is my name, MarshaLaytonTurner.com. I also run the Association of Ghostwriters, and I think that's an even better place to go and learn about ghostwriting and to see a wide range of ghostwriters who are available in most cases. There's a member directory on the website that people can search, or they can fill out a form. There's a Find a Ghostwriter tab. They can fill it out to say what they're looking for, and then I'm happy to help see who's available, and there's no charge for that.
Fantastic. Great. Okay. And something that I ask all my guests then, just to finish off with, what are you reading at the moment, or what book would you recommend to listeners?
I read a lot. And so I finished last week my friend Lindy Elkins Tanton's book. It's called A Portrait of the Scientist as a Young Woman. Very interesting story, a lot of takeaways from that. So really enjoyed that. Lindy's a friend, so that's why I read it. But I just started reading Small by Design by David Feldman, which is about building a big business but keeping it small, which is kind of what I'm hoping to do. I don't want to have an empire.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Right. I'll have to check out both of those, neither of which I've read. So yes, I'll add those in the show notes as well. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me, Marsha. That was lovely to chat to you and find out all about what you do. And
Thanks for the invitation. Really appreciated it and enjoyed it.
This episode is sponsored by my blogging course for coaches, consultants and educators, now live on the course creators platform Udemy, and available at special offer to podcast listeners. Follow the link in the show notes and use the code BLOGGINGCOURSEPOD. If you've got anything you'd like me to talk about on the show, you know someone you'd like me to interview, or perhaps you'd like to be a guest, send me a DM on Instagram at Dr. Lizzie Tangi or email me lizzie@lizzietangi.com.